The list of demands for the host of the next debate was long, but the nub of the problem is nothing to do with graphics or room temperature. This week's recurring theme from the RNC and the candidates themselves was about the immoderation of the moderators. You know, those jackals who viciously attacked would-be presidents of the United States with questions, but not just any questions.
The backlash comes after angry candidates complained about so-called gotcha questions by moderators.
Those CNBC gotcha questions.
The Republican National Committee chairman says there were too many gotcha questions.
Gotcha questions, shrewdly designed by antagonistic smart alecks to unfairly elicit answers not previously tested in focus groups. Here was frontrunner Ben Carson speaking afterwards on ABC.
We should have moderators who are interested in disseminating the information about the candidates as opposed to gotcha.
Yeah, God forbid candidates for the presidency should be asked to defend their actions, policy ideas, previous statements, inconsistencies, and hollow promises. Carson, for example, was confronted by moderator Becky Quick on his vague proposal for a flat tax, which, using a partisan trick called arithmetic, she observed would add $1 trillion+ to the deficit. Carson was then forced to disseminate information.
It's not true.
It is true. I looked at the numbers.
When we put all of the facts down, you'll be able to see that it's not true. It works out very well.
Oh, well, there you have it. It works out very well. Later, CNBC's Carl Quintanilla inquired about Carson's decade-long ties, including paid speaking gigs and appearances in promotional materials, to a marketer of nutritional supplements who'd been fined for making wild health claims.
I didn't have an involvement with them. That is total propaganda. I did a couple of speeches for them. I did speeches for other people. They were paid speeches. It is absolutely absurd to say that I had any kind of a relationship with them. Do I take the product? Yes. I think it's a good product.
To be fair, you were on the homepage of their website with the logo over your shoulder.
I guess it depends on your definition of relationship and of propaganda. At least he answered the question. Candidates in his position more often just changed the subject, frequently by turning the question against the journalist and the press in general. This was Texas Senator Ted Cruz following Quintanilla's question about Cruz's willingness to shut down the government over the debt limit.
You know, let me say something at the outset. The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. And you look at the questions. Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
You mean an issue like the debt limit, the one you used your time not talking about? Never mind. Cruz went on to allege that a partisan cabal of closet Democrats merely wanted to make Republicans look bad.
Contrast with the Democratic debate, where every fawning question from the media was, which of you is more handsome and wise?
RNC Chairman Reince Priebus, in Cutting Ties with NBC, complained that the questions were designed to embarrass the candidates. Quote, the RNC's sole role in the primary debate process is to ensure that our candidates are given a full and fair opportunity to lay out their vision for America's future. Look, running against the media is a time-honored tactic. Remember Nixon's vice president, Spiro Agnew?
My target for tonight, the professional pessimist. In the United States today, we have more than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
The idea is to deflect criticism by playing on voters' own suspicions about the elite quinoa-eating know-it-alls who presume to represent their interests. But since when is helping politicians make their best case to the voters the media's role? The media's role is to be a proxy for the voter by raising relevant questions about philosophy, policy, and fitness for office. As for the notion that the press is a subversive fifth column out to sabotage the Republican candidates, Here's a little bit of CNN's Anderson Cooper at the first Democratic primary debate.
Secretary Clinton, I want to start with you. You were against same-sex marriage. Now you're for it. You defended President Obama's immigration policies. Now you say they're too harsh. You supported his trade deal dozens of times. You even called it the gold standard. Now, suddenly, last week, you're against it. Will you say anything to get elected?
Compare that with Quintanilla's much-ridiculed opening salvo for the Republicans.
What is your biggest weakness, and what are you doing to address it?
Okay, that didn't yield too much. But I myself appreciated the effort. After all, what did the pushier questions produce anyway? Certainly no sobbing confessions. And in that sense, the critics of moderator impertinence may be onto something. If recent history has taught us anything, it's that the most illuminating candidate questions aren't confrontational at all, just innocuous, open-ended, and delicious. Let's say, for instance, you suspected that a candidate for vice president was a five-alarm ignoramus.
And when it comes to establishing your worldview, I was curious, what newspapers and magazines did you regularly read before you were tapped for this to stay informed and to understand the
world? I've read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like, what ones specifically? I'm curious that you...
All of them, any of them that have been in front of me over all these years.
Gotcha.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.